أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Surah Al-Baqarah, in particular section 7, which are in essence the learning objectives or personal and communal laws for Muslims. This was a new class that was inaugurated, and we've looked at 7 of those. Very quickly, the first one was seeking help through sabr and salah, because this wasn't going to be an easy journey. Number 2, there's a blessing in afflictions, and those who give their lives up in His way are alive. And remember, when they have a difficulty, they said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The third one was striving is essential in reaching one's full potential. The fourth one was do not conceal guidance if you do repent and amend. The fifth one, your God is one God, Rahman and Rahim, love Him to bits, ashadd hubban lillah. Number 6, eat halal and tayyib, which is good things. Don't follow shaitan, don't follow customs and traditions over divine law, and be thankful. And finally, we looked at number 7, which is how or the qualities, the key components, the core components of being a righteous Muslim. Now goodness is defined in sort of a larger sense. We now have a list of laws, and it starts off in ayah 178-179 on the subject of qisas. Qisas is retribution, and that is expounded. See, every single thing has a measured opposite and an equal reaction. And if you look at this, it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, who you believe, kutiba alaykumul qisas, prescribed or mandated for you is retribution. Fil qatla, in the matter of those who are killed. Al hurru bil hur, wal abdu bil abd, wal untha bil untha, the free person for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. In other words, whoever was responsible for the murder would take the retribution for it. However, retribution can be divided into 3 parts. It's a choice of 3. Either you wish like for like retribution, or you could have compensation, blood money, or in our language be able to financially sue them. But the third one is forgiveness. And the option of choice is based on the family. The verbal root of the word qisas is qassa, which means to cut, to divide, or differentiate. Life hinges on differentiation, good and bad, light and dark, life and death. And the enforcement of Allah's law of balance is very, very necessary. And it's in this way the boundaries of those who transgress are recognized, marked, and combated. Let's look at the next law. And this is from ayah 180-182. It says, Kutiba alaykum idha hadhar ahadakumul mawtu in taraka khayran al-wasiyyatu lil-waldayni wal-aqrabina bil-ma'ruf hakkan lil-muttaqin. It is mandated for you that when death approaches one of you and you leave behind good, you have to write a will for parents, for near relatives, according to custom. This is a duty upon those who safeguard themselves and have fearful awareness. A will is near enough mandatory. When we leave, what we leave behind should be clearly defined according to both the outer laws of inheritance and one's direct wishes. No vagueness is allowed in Islam, because the path is one of awareness, discrimination, and knowledge. And it continues to say, فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِيَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Whoever alters it after he has heard it incurs a wrong action. Allah is hearing and knowing. So the one who witnesses the will of the dying is under an obligation to make sure that the dying person bequeaths what he possesses in a proper manner. The Prophet said, he or she is not one of us who does not sleep without a will under his or her pillow. That basically meant that there is no choice in the matter. You must have a will. The financial bits are quite easy, because Sharia lays down its laws for 2/3. It's only 1/3 that you have to see to. But all the other aspects of a will, your aspirations, your thoughts, all have to be recorded. The 10th one, from ayah 183-188, and we've talked about this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may have taqwa, you may become God conscious. That was the purpose of fasting. a means of containing and restraining the self, so we may be able to practice awareness and sabr. Remember that patience we've been talking about throughout this, and be able to taste rida or contentment. It is said that the fasting of the ordinary person is to withhold from food, drink, and intimacy during the day. The fasting of the elect among the seekers is to curb all sensory desires, even thinking about the distasteful or anything which inflames the lower nafs. And the fasting of the elite is to seal the heart from giving any attention to anybody else other than Allah. We've talked about this in the first talk, but I'd just like to reiterate ayah 185, where Allah says, شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, is that in which the Qur'an was revealed. The honor to the month of Ramadan, the purpose of the month of Ramadan, is the Qur'an. And then he says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُومُهُ, whoever witnesses the month, he should fast. The fasting was there to take our mind off everything except the Qur'an, to be able to focus totally onto the Qur'an. And as a discipline, it is bound to enhance the awareness of being close to Allah. And thus, ayah 186, which we will put down as number 11, is وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my abd asks you about me, then surely I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ, I answer the call of the one who calls me when he calls me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, so they should answer me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and believe in me and trust in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so that they may be rightly guided. And the conversation with Allah must be constant. Remember he tells Musa, Musa, ask for me in all that you need, even fodder for your goat and salt for your dough. And it goes in sequence. See, fasting brings taqwa. Taqwa enables guidance to reach the nafs. Guidance to your personal best makes it easy. So when one is grateful for guidance through fasting, and the guidance is through the Qur'an, and shaitan is enslaved, now he says, and now ask, and I will respond immediately. Dua, in essence, is to turn the attention of the called one to the caller. And he's actually saying, whenever, whatever, whenever, I will respond to you immediately. And then in ayah 187, because everything has its place and its proper courtesy and a limiting boundary, then there's laws for eating, drinking, and intimacy. And then the first test of taqwa in ayah 188, and this is number 12. Do not eat up your wealth among yourselves wrongfully, nor seek to gain access by it to the judges, so that you may consume a part of the property of other human beings wrongfully while you know. Ever since the human being was created, society has recognized the right of property and upheld it. Simply, don't steal. Don't take what's not yours. And then number 13, it starts off by يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, they ask you about the new moon. But in essence, it's about entry. It's about entry into anything. So let's see what it's trying to say. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحِجَّةِ, say they are times appointed for human beings and the pilgrimage or the Hajj. Every occasion demands its own appropriate approach. So we see that the month of Ramadan has fasting as its entry. The new moon brings in the call for that. The month of Dhul-Hijjah has the pilgrimage, the Hajj. And then immediately he says, وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَعْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ذُهُورِهَا وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى, and it's not righteous that you should come to your houses from the back entrance. Righteousness is that you should be God-conscious. وَعْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا, come to the houses by the front door. The pre-Islamic Arabs had a superstition that when they couldn't get what they wanted, then they wouldn't enter their houses through the front door, but through the back door. It was a superstition. And this is in essence saying, do things the right way. It's shattering superstitions and myths. It's also emphasizing that now you know how to do things the right way, so do them the right way. Now you know proper procedure, now you know protocol, you've got an example, the best example right in front of you, so follow the proper way. And the correct way in essence to knowledge is purity of intention and correct action. Now look at the next one. Number 14. And this is from Ayah 190 to 195. It's a sort of precursor to the Battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, fight in the way of Allah. الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ, those who fight you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, don't exceed the limits. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ, he doesn't love those who exceed the limits. The laws of engaging in battle are very, very precise. Historically, the Muslims were killed, they were chased out of their homes, and even when they moved to Medina, then you have an attack on them as well. And from early on, Muslims were only permitted to fight in self-defense. But when there is no option, and in the face of continuous oppression or persecution, then the order is to fight, but within the limits. The next ayah says, وَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ صَفِقْتُمُوهُمْ, kill them wherever you find them. And this is used in such a negative manner. Basically, it says, fight on the battlefield. Then it says, وَأَخْرَجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ, and drive them out from where they drove you out from. They took your homes. It continues to say, الْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَاتِلِ, persecution is even more severe. It's even worse than killing. And then, وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ إِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, don't fight them in the sacred mosque. حَتَّى يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِيهِ, until they fight you in it. Very precise instructions in the next ayah. فَإِنْ إِنْتَهَوْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, but if they stop, then Allah is forgiving and merciful on all occasions. There is an attempt to draw us near by taking on the appropriate attribute of Allah. And here, the attributes are forgiveness and mercy. And it continues to say, if they do stop, this is in Ayah 193, فَإِنِنْ تَحَوْ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, then there should be no animosity, no hostility, except against those who oppress. And then the sacred months in which there is no fighting is mentioned in Ayah 194. It says, أَشْهَرُ الْحَرَامِ بِشَهْرِ الْحَرَامِ وَالْحُرُمَاتُ الْقِصَاصِ, even retaliation is not permitted. And the four sacred months are ذي القعدة, ذي الحجة, محرم, and the month of رجب. And then in this battle talk, the next ayah, which is وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, spend in the way of Allah. When a nation needs protection, it will need financial help. And here Allah is saying that one of manifestation of correct action of ihsan is giving wealth for the protection of the community. When human beings through ignorance or foolish action bring about physical reactions or tragic physical reactions like war or famine and other afflictions, the true conduct is to combat them. And it requires all sorts of skill sets and financial help. So we've now looked at 14 different learning objectives. Inshallah, we will complete this section tomorrow.